is Scorebook Live Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. It's Friday, February 7th, 2020. I'm Andy Bueller, Scorebook Live reporter, and with me, the crew is back together. Todd Millis, Scorebook Live senior reporter, is on the line from the Tacoma Narrows, where he's covering state bowling for the site. And Dan Dickow, you just called a Big Ten game. You called a Gonzaga game for CBS. I'm gonna guess you're in Spokane, but nevertheless, how you guys doing?
Things are good. Yes, I'm in Spokane for a short bit. I've got to actually travel to Omaha, Nebraska, of all places, for a Big East game, St. John's Creighton. But I'm staying in touch with high school coaches across the state. High school regular season's wrapping up this week, and man, there are some interesting matchups that are going to happen next week in the playoffs.
Strikes and spares, hey. Strikes and spares. That's all I'm doing this weekend. So I'm doing a little pivot here over the next few weeks to girls bowling. I'm looking forward to Mat Classic, state wrestling, which is very popular here in Tacoma, but trying to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on with both boys and girls basketball as well.
Yeah, and Todd, you're doing a great job of it. Your work yesterday, your first day of state bowling coverage, enjoyed following along with that. You can find it on scorebooklive.com/Washington. It's the home for everything we do here across the state. Today on the show, we're going to put a regular-sized workman-like bow on the high school basketball regular season on both the boys and girls side. And then after, Dickow is joined by former Mark Morris standout, Gonzaga walk-on fan favorite, current member of the Baylor men's basketball coaching staff, and most importantly, a former Scorebook Live employee, Rem Backamas. But first, about 2 months ago, we recorded episodes about the top storylines entering the high school basketball season on the boys and girls sides. Now the regular season comes to a close, so we're going to go around to each of us and just list off one storyline, player performance, team performance, something that surprised you guys the most this regular season before we pivot fully to playoff coverage. So which one of you guys wants to go first?
I'll jump in there first. For me, I think there's a lot of really good storylines. I think, you know, the emergence of Central Valley in Spokane at the 4A level. I think the Metro League and the battle for the top spot between Garfield, O'Day, and Eastside Catholic has been interesting. You know, some of those teams in NPSL, SPSL are really good, and they've had some battles. Puyallup, Sumner, Auburn come to mind really quickly. But I think for me, it's the continued dominance of the GSHL in Southwest Washington by Union. They were undefeated last year, kind of caught a hiccup in the playoffs and weren't able to come away with a state title. And they've kind of used that as fuel, used that as motivation, both as a team as well as individually, with a few of the guys. Tanner Toulson is absolutely improved. He's a bona fide Division I prospect. I think he's going to be in a conversation for State Player of the Year at the 4A level without a doubt. They are now having to navigate the waters without his backcourt mate, Brad Lackey, who's out with a knee injury now. But, you know, they're 20-0 heading into the playoffs, but they've been really tested these last two or three games. Battleground took them down to the wire. Skyview took them down to the wire. And so just kind of following the path of that program throughout the course of this year and how they've dominated games in the early part of the season and then held on to games this last week or two, it's going to be really fun to watch them in the playoffs.
Yeah, and just to jump in, I've caught the last two games, two of the last three games that Union has played. Both of them have been absolute barn burners, and games that, quite frankly, Union probably should have lost. They played Battleground and came from behind and beat Caden Perry and Battleground off a monster performance from the Gonzaga commit. And then they go a couple nights ago here and beat Skyview in the Storm Cellar at Skyview High School. And they do it on the back of Tanner Toulson, who hits a double clutch three at the buzzer to force overtime. So this Union team, Dan, I completely agree with you. Is it a surprise that they're sitting here having won the Greater St. Helens League? No, we predicted that going into the season. But given the way last year that things ended in the Tacoma Dome, they came in as the number one seed overall, relied heavily on shooting the ball, and fell flat. This is a Union team that's playing with a fire, and I think that Skyview game a couple nights ago was really emblematic of that, in that they didn't have to win that game, wouldn't affect their seeding heading into districts, but yeah, they really dug deep and won, and it looked pretty good even without all league guy Brad Lackey at the point guard. So great choice, Todd. We'll give it away to you.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about the development across the board in girls basketball in the state of Washington, how much it's grown in the last, oh, even 5-6 years. And Dan, I know you probably see a lot of that in your skill building stuff in Spokane on both sides. But the thing that's really struck me is just sort of the advanced skill set of ninth graders playing girls basketball in the state of Washington. It's been phenomenal. It's been eye-opening. You know, this summer, or actually this fall during football season, when we were going through some of our girls basketball preview research, you know, a couple of the Metro League coaches had talked about this young Eastside Catholic team that had made a run in the junior NBA circuit on a national level with a group of ninth graders. Now, you know, Dan, you've been around basketball, and Andy, you too, and you hear that, you're like, okay, summer basketball, you know, AAU, it's just sort of free flowing. So, I mean, what about real basketball when you're actually, there's advanced scouting reports and things like that? That's when I would be convinced, seeing a team like that, if they can handle themselves in more basketball related situations. To go and watch this Eastside Catholic team dismantle what many felt was the most talented team coming into the year in Garfield, in a big time atmosphere Metro League showdown was as impressive a thing as I've seen in many years covering girls basketball, and in particular the third quarter, where they outscored Garfield by 20 something points. It's the pressure. It's the ball handling. They have a young lady named Malia Samuels. We're gonna be hearing. This is a name that we're gonna see a lot over the next few years. She's a ninth grade point guard. She plays up with the Northwest Greyhounds, but I mean, she's got teammates too. Miracle Shepherd, MB Jones, a good sophomore in Zaza Walton. I mean, to watch this group primarily made up of ninth graders and sophomores play with that type of maturity in it against a big time opponent in a big time atmosphere was, I tell you, Dan, it was a lot of fun, and it kind of made you realize exactly, this was sort of the snapshot I needed to see about how far girls basketball has come, especially, you know, in that middle school to early high school phase. And it's not just, you know, Eastside Catholic. You look around, there's a really good ninth grader at Bethel, Alyssa Smith, or you could go to, you know, Hope Hassman, a really good point guard at Tahoma. You know, Chloe Patterson. There's a lot of good sophomores there. I mean, the list is on and on and on, and this great group of ninth graders and sophomores in the state of Washington. It's going to be fun. I mean, we're going to see these great players, these seniors, this really strong senior group graduate this year. You know, led by Haley Van Lith, but the we're in good hands here for the next few years at least. And I figured from what I saw here a couple weeks ago, we're in good hands for a long, long time in the girls basketball scene.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I think I don't follow girls high school basketball as closely as you do, but I do, you know, keep an ear out for teams and players that are really playing extremely well. I look back at, you know, some of the traditional powers over the year. Prairie High School down in Southwest Washington has been phenomenal for 20-some years. You look at Central Valley with Freddie Rico, who's an analyst on the girls' side for us. They won a national title 2 years ago. And then you talk about some of the individual players and the impact that they're making at the national level by being invited to the McDonald's All-American game, like a Haley Van Lith. they're raising the profile, they're raising the interest level in the game, and I think that's only going to springboard girls basketball in the state to continue to get even better.
It's a positive forecast across the state from both of you guys. Two great selections there for surprise storylines. Mine has a lot of the same threads as Todd does when he talked about Eastside Catholic. He talked about a young core, though this team's a little bit off the beaten path. It's not a Seattle Metro team whose story I'm most interested in. It's Toppenish in the CWAC at the 2A level. Toppenish is a team that last year went like 11-13, finished 7th in the CWAC, a conference that's pretty good. It's pretty good year in and year out. And this year, it's just been, I mean, it's been utter dominance. Toppenish has, they're 18-1 right now, 16-1 in league. They've got a comfortable lead on the league championship right now as we speak. They play tonight as we're recording Friday, finish out the regular season against Quincy before the CWAC tournament here in a few days. But this is a team that going into the season, there weren't all of these alarm bells or kind of context clues as to what kind of season it might be. This is a team mostly comprised of sophomores. They've got a great senior leader in Isaac Perez, who was the team's quarterback. He is 6 feet tall and just a hard-nosed guard who is unselfish, distributes the ball, knows how to pick his spots. I mentioned him, wrote a little bit about him in our breakout players of the 2019-2020 season story up on the site right now. And talking to Joseph Mespley, the head coach at Toppenish, five of these 10 varsity kids are all related to each other. And this is a team where, according to their roster, they don't have a player that's taller than 6'1", and yet they're going in, you know, they're beating Azilla at the buzzer. They're taking care of business against these bigger teams in the CWAC. It's a hard-nosed group, and they've really rallied around Perez, who Mespley calls just a great leader. And something he said that struck me was, he said, one thing, you know, it's always tough at Toppenish here. It's always been tough to get leaders. We've had to build leaders, and he's really stepped up into a leadership role. Maybe not the most vocal kid, but he leads by action, and the players follow. So Toppenish is among the teams I'm going to really be keeping a close eye on here entering the postseason, just because of what a fantastic body of work they have heading into here wrapping up the regular season. So before we take a quick break, I want to give a quick shout out to some of the great stuff on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington, that you guys have been working on. Starting with Dan. Dan, do you want to talk a little bit about the top 13 shooters list that went up on the site this week, and the what's kind of more to come in that same vein?
Yeah, it's kind of fun to break the game down a little bit more in the state as far as maybe a specific position or attribute. And the game is becoming positionless, so the lists that we're going to be generating aren't, hey, here's your best point guard, here's your best two, here's your best three, here's your best post player. It's kind of you know, by characteristic, so to speak. And the first one we came up with was the shooters list. And I tell you what, I've got 13 players on the list. There very well could be 17 or 18. It was hard to kind of cap it, you know, but I talked to a number of coaches across the state. I saw players both in summer league tournaments, WIBCA, some games earlier this season. And kind of those are the list. You know, it was difficult to leave a couple kids off, but at the end of the day, I think this is a very good list, and looking forward to releasing our playmakers / ball handlers list, and then we've got a top wings list, and then we've got a top big man list, and there's a lot of players from all different parts of the state, as well as classifications, that are going to be included. And it should be fun to see the response and or criticism to some of these lists.
Sure. Yeah, it's been great to see you approach the game with such a high level of understanding, having played in the NBA, played at a really high level, and really been at kind of a talent evaluation at a high level as well. So check the site in the next coming days, scorebooklive.com/Washington, for those ensuing lists to come out. Todd, a story, one of the many stories you've been working on here this week is probably one of my favorite of my time at Scorebook Live. Loretti Santiago, am I pronouncing her name right?
Yes, you are. Very good.
She is. She plays for Easton. It's a 1B school. She stands at 5'4". And Todd, do you want to tell us what makes her worthy of a closer look?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned those top 14, you know, shooters lists. So you know, we'll be doing some of those lists as well on the girls' side. So I figured, since I'm a little behind Dan here on my research on the girls' side, I figure I should start, you know, looking at some stats and whatnot. And this young lady came up. Well, first off, the number 18 point. Well, it was over 18 rebounds a game, which is absurd in high school for 32 minutes. That number popped up, and I said, "Oh my gosh, that's a lot of rebounds to get in a game." So I click on this young lady. Had never heard of her. I know where Easton is. It's up by Cleom, Suncadia country for us golfers. And the first thing I noticed was her height, and it says 5'5" on the roster. I actually asked her, she says, "Well, I'm closer to 5'4". She's a team captain. I mean, the team hasn't won a game yet. It's a young group. She's been a team captain since the eighth grade. So one of the interesting things was she played her middle school year a few years ago and then went right into the high school season and was anointed a team captain, which was kind of cool for her. And this year, with very little height, a couple of post players graduated. You know, she plays. She still plays up top on offense, but she plays kind of in the back end of their zone on defense. And so she's just one of those young ladies, those athletes that sees it and goes and gets it. She's not an extraordinary jumper. She's pretty quick. I think that's what she does. She kind of beats post players to the spot. Really sees the ball well coming off the rim. But 18 rebounds a game, Dan, as you know, that's a lot of rebounds. That would be a lot of rebounds for a tall girl that just stood under the basket. And this young lady is running off the wing and charging to the basket and hoping to beat people to the spot and grab rebounds. And to talk to her, to ask her about how she does this, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, she has these attributes she talks about, but and she doesn't really know. I mean, she laughs about it, and so does her coach. I mean, she knows she's probably the least likely candidate to be leading the state in rebounding. But it was a fun story to write and hear her talk about, you know, how her mom just howls in approval every time she gets a rebound and hugs her, and you know, she's only a sophomore, so it's. It'll be fun to kind of track her career and see, you know, how many rebounds that she can pull down for her entire career.
Yeah, that is an interesting read for sure. I know, you know, so much of rebounding is heart and willingness to go get a ball that maybe not be in your area. And it sounds like she's got that. And so that's going to be a fun read.
Scorebooklive.com/Washington is where you'll find it. You'll find Todd at Many Hats Millis on Twitter, Dan at DanDickout21, Twitter, Instagram, across platforms. I'm at Andy Bueller. Of course, everything we do is at SB Live WA on essentially every social platform. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Dan Dickout welcomes Rem Backamas to the podcast. Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
Dan Dickow here, Scorebook Live, Washington, on our weekly podcast, our Coach's Corner, this time. A special guest for myself, for our Scorebook Live staff, as well as for a lot of people here in the state of Washington that follow what we're doing. None other than Rem Backamas, the 2012 grad from Mark Morris. He was at Gonzaga University for a stretch as a invited priority walk-on and really endeared himself to that program. Rem, thanks for joining us.
Dan, appreciate you having me. I love the pod. I love what you guys have been doing at Scorebook Live. I'm looking forward to getting this going.
You know, it's kind of bittersweet to interview you right now in regards to the current role that you have, and we'll touch on that later on in our conversation. But you worked with Scorebook Live, and you worked closely with myself and Dan Beach for a year and a half, 2 years. What makes Scorebook Live unique in your view?
Oh, man, I can't say enough good things about Scorebook Live in my time there, but... you know, just how important it is for you guys to make kids and what they're doing in high school sports accessible to the fans and the families, the colleges, the media. You guys just make it so accessible, and it's really for the kids and what the kids want and need at this time in high school sports. So the amount of coverage that they receive is just outstanding. And I knew... you know, it was a special place to be there. I miss my time there for sure, though.
Yeah, we miss you in the office, that's for sure. We don't get a chance to catch up and talk random basketball trivia and random thoughts, but you're doing some interesting things now. As I mentioned, we'll touch on those later. But you are somebody that I think has a chance to kind of be a role model for a lot of players at the high school level in the state of Washington in this current time. You were a very good high school player. Your dad, Bill Backamas, is a very good and well-respected high school coach at Mark Morris, where you graduated in 2012. And you were one of those guys that I'm sure a lot of high school players in that position currently. You were a very good player. You've got opportunities to play at the college level, maybe at the D3, the NAIA level, or the junior college level. Or you could kind of walk on it at Division One. What was the thought process for you, and how did you go about making that, and what was the determining factor for you?
Yeah, you know, I think I do have an interesting story, just kind of how my high school career unfolded and how I was able to make it on at Gonzaga, but I really wrestled around with where I wanted to go, how I wanted my 4 years of college to play out. You know, I was really intrigued by the Division III level. I thought it was a good level for me as a player and kind of how I was athletically, but also kind of common for kids. You think you're a little better than you are, especially at the time. And I just knew I put in a lot of work and time, and I wasn't quite sure if that was the route for me or if maybe junior college there at Lower Columbia, right there in the hometown of Longview, was the way I should go. And then I just got the unique opportunity from Tommy Lloyd to come in the summer, let's see, in 2012, yeah, so the summer to kind of feel my way out with the team and kind of spend 6 weeks there practicing, trying to do what I could. And it ended up resulting in a roster spot for me at Gonzaga. It was the best decision I've ever made, for sure. But I know a lot of people go other routes. I know, you know, how many good players there are in college basketball at every level. You see guys who slip through the cracks all the time. So I definitely think I'd still be in a position I am right now pursuing coaching, no matter where I went, any level. But going to Gonzaga really helped me as far as my network and learning the game at the highest college level, for sure.
You grew up with a dad, Bill Backamas, who we've just touched on, who is a very good high school coach. Tommy Lloyd is a family friend of your family's. He's associate head coach at Gonzaga. Did you always feel that coaching was in your future?
Yeah, I did. There was times I kind of resisted it and thought maybe I should try something else. But my whole life, I think I really viewed the game. You know, as you know, as a point guard, you're trying to be the second coach out there. And I was just always soaking up things that my dad would tell me, or his coaching friends in the state, or any practices or games of college or pro I got to go to. And I just thought I saw the game in a little different way than most players, especially at my age. So I couldn't resist it for that long. After my year and a half out of college, it was just calling me back, and that's kind of how I ended up where I am today.
Well, I can imagine your dad, again, is one of your coaching mentors. When you look at other coaches at the high school level in the state of Washington, and I know you're very well connected through, you know, a lot of the summer high school tournaments that go on in the month of June. I think it's the Battle of the Border that your dad runs, where there's Oregon versus Washington. It's kind of a really cool, unique event. And then you've obviously been around it. Besides your father, who are some of the really good high school coaches that you kind of looked at from a distance and said, hey, I like what they're doing. If I'm ever in a position to coach my own program, I'm going to steal some of the things that they do?
Yeah, that's a tough question. There's so many great coaches in Washington, but aside from my dad, Steve Clokey, who's his assistant, Mark Morris, helped me out a lot as a player. He had a similar dynamic kind of to Gonzaga, where Tommy Lloyd, you know, coaches a lot and has that freedom. So Coach Clokey, he shaped me a lot at a young age, especially when me and my dad weren't getting along in practice. But, you know, there's so many great coaches. Coach Sue at Mount Lake Terrace, Coach Gaby, who's at Shado, and he still texts me all the time, checks in with me. You got, you know, Coach Conley, Manny Mello. There's so many great coaches. I could list a million of them. But for me, it's always been important to kind of check in with those guys when I can, you know. I still follow high school basketball in Washington as closely as I can, even being out here in Texas. So anytime I come across those guys or see them at War of the Border or something of that nature, I'm always getting caught up and I'm always picking their brains, because I know that's the foundation. That's where, you know, these college kids learn how to play the game the right way.
You know, I think it's so interesting. You mentioned a number of really good high school coaches in the state of Washington. And I've had a chance to talk to high school coaches from across the country, and I would agree or make the comment that the state of Washington is really blessed with some good high school coaches that care and teach the fundamentals, and they teach the values of the game the right way. You had a chance to play for Coach Few. I played for him. You played under him. What makes Coach Few so special at the college level, and what could a high school coach take from what he does?
Yeah, Coach Few, I owe him my whole career right now. You know, he does it in such a unique way, and I love his ability to incorporate family atmosphere, not only with the players, but with his own family and the other coaches' families. You know, you got his kids running around after practice. I got really close with, you know, AJ and Joe, and, you know, just having that family atmosphere outside of your team is really special. And Coach Few, he's one of the best coaches in college basketball, probably one of the top ones in college basketball history. And he's not always going to be nice and tell you sweet things. He's going to get what he wants out of you, but he does it with love. And everybody knows the big goal at the end of the day is to win a national championship and to kind of knock some of those things off WCC, eventually extend your career because of it. But he just does it in such a unique way. And he does it with love, and he does it with the family culture. And it's something special that not everybody can do.
You know, the constant theme I hear from you is do it with love, do it with care, and kind of looking out for somebody's best interest. Maybe at a young age, a lot of high school kids don't know what their best interest is. If you look at your future aspirations as a coach, say we fast forward 5 to 10 years from now for Rem Backamas as a coach, give me your coaching philosophy and where you hope to be.
Such a tough question, something I think about often, but I take it a day at a time. You know, I just want it to be as similar to Gonzaga, Baylor, and Mark Morris as possible, where I've been around three coaches who truly care about the players. They care about them outside of the gym. They want them to be successful people, not just in basketball, but in life. I just want to be a coach who really pushes my players to their limits, gets the most out of them, and takes them to the next level. You know, I know not every player can make it to the NBA, but I want everybody to get opportunity to play pro, and I want those guys who don't play pro to be willing to come back and, you know, spend time wherever I may be, whether, you know, maybe it's Gonzaga or somewhere on the West Coast. But I just really want that family atmosphere where the vets come back and the alumni come back, and it's a family place.
You've obviously had a nice learning curve at Gonzaga as a player. You spent some time away from the game, learned that your passion was being involved as far as coaching and being involved on the team side. You had an opportunity to move to Baylor, be a grad assistant, get your master's, and really get your feet wet in coaching. For young kids who might be listening to this, explain how a coaching path takes hold as far as, hey, you become a grad assistant, what your responsibilities, your roles are, and then how that evolves into maybe getting ready for the next step as being hired as, whether it's a video coordinator, a director of basketball ops, whatever that may be.
Yeah, so, you know, just getting an opportunity to be a graduate assistant was a huge deal for me, and something that I know doesn't come easy for a lot of people, but given my history with Coach John Jakis while he was at Gonzaga, I was really very blessed to get this opportunity. So it starts kind of in the film room every day as a GA. And, you know, you're breaking down film, whether it's sets for the opposing team or out-of-bounds plays, personnel, and then you're doing your own team's kind of offense or defense. And, you know, coaches are so busy with recruiting and their own planning and scouting that you just got to be available to clip and cut whatever they need and do it in a way that it's super easy for them to watch and figure it out. So that's the kind of the first part of the job, I'd say. And then the second part, you know, since we're so close in age with the players, we spend a lot of time on the court with them, whether it's, you know, going back at night. I just got back from rebounding a couple of our guards tonight. I'm lucky to be at a place where we have players who like to get in the gym, so it's really helped me kind of find my coaching voice. You know, just be an uplifting voice for them as a graduate assistant. And then, you know, you do your time. I'll finish up here in May and looking for a job. You know, I'm not opposed to going to any level or taking any job. I just really want to find a fit that works for me and a place where I think I can grow as a coach, whether it's video coordinator, director of ops, or whatever it may be. That's just kind of the route you take. And you know, Baylor's special because it's given me a lot of flexibility with the players and the coaches, and I feel like it's a place where, as a GA, my voice is heard, and I get a lot of freedom, so I'm really grateful for that, and I just, I look forward to seeing where we end up this season. I'm not really ready for it to end. It's kind of going by quick, and it's been a lot of fun, but, you know, once it's done, I got to start the job hunt. It's going to be a little different deal, but you know, being a GA is so much fun at the end of the day, and spending my time here has been really, really awesome.
Well, it's been awesome to follow you the last year and a half since you left our Scorebook Live offices and embarked on your journey. You know, the interesting thing, or the awesome thing to see is Baylor and Gonzaga are 1-2 now for, I believe, 3 or 4 weeks in a row, so that's great to see. Before I let you go, I've got a couple quick hitting questions. Don't have to get too in-depth, but just want to ask you a couple quick questions on your time in the state of Washington in regards to basketball. Who is the greatest player that you played against in the state of Washington in high school?
That I played against in Washington? Shoot, that's so tough. Chapman was pretty good. He ended up going to BYU and then finishing out at Boston College. He could get to a few buckets, but the most memorable I remember is actually Peyton Pritchard when we played them at War of the Border. They had Pritchard and Anthony Mathis at the time, and they were young, and I was older, and they beat us, both of us. I think they scored in the hundreds. We were like 98, but I remember Peyton Pritchard vividly, and I was like, this kid is going to be a dog. He's going to be a good one day.
He's definitely putting it together a nice career down in Eugene. He's in conversations for Player of the Year, All-Americans, so that's interesting to hear. How about somebody who's been around the high school basketball world in the state of Washington? You've seen a number of players. You've heard stories from your dad. Best player in the state of Washington history.
Other than the guy who played at Morton High School, Bill Backamas, I got to go with Nate Robinson, just because I remember watching him as a kid and just being in awe of the way he played for Rainier Beach with the Stewart Twins and what he could do athletically at his height. He was phenomenal. He was the best that I remember ever watching, for sure.
This one's going to be a little difficult because I know you've got a lot of good networks and relationships across the state. Take out Mark Morris's program. What is the best program in the state, regardless of classification?
That is so difficult. And I got to go with Coach Bethea at Rainier Beach, just because that's the team that I was always hearing about growing up and in high school. I just know how great the players have been who have come through there and how much love and support they show Beach even after they leave. And he does such a good job with his teams every year.
Well, Rem, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. I know you're no longer in the offices in Spokane for Scorebook Live Washington, but, you know, you are missed. We appreciate you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck in your coaching career this season at Baylor as well as down the road, and appreciate the time, and hopefully you stay in touch.
And I appreciate it. I got to close with thanking you and Dan Beach, because without you guys letting me go home for extended periods of time and kind of get to coach with my dad alongside him at Mark Morris, I don't know if I would have really figured out this is what I wanted to do. So I appreciate you guys and how awesome you guys were for me and letting me kind of go and do this and figure it out. So appreciate you guys. I miss you guys at Scorebook Live, and I know how well you guys are doing and how great things are ahead.